podcast where I, Lydia,
and I, Ashna,
open up the conversation on sustainability to inform and empower.
We want to connect real people to topics they care and are curious about, but without the jargon or BS.
Join us as we chat about all things sustainability related and how they intersect with our daily lives.
From eating out, to what we wear, to the latest technology and more.
And we're also going to bring in some really cool guests doing cool things for people and the planet. Welcome back.
Hello everyone, we're back.
Today we are with Besma, founder of Ethical Influencers, so we're very excited. Ethical Influencers is a digital community doing good. So from sustainable storytellers to podcasters to ethical fashion Instagrammers, the members of the Ethical Influencers are collectively working towards a better world. So the role of the group is to kind of support those creators to improve what they do and create connections with like-minded brands and help them get their voices heard as well. But what we really like about Ethical Influencers is that it's, you know, they don't look at just follower counts and readership figures, or and they don't take payments to join. It's all sort of based around the content and whether it champions positive change, which is great. And we are actually members ourselves.
Oh, look at us.
They're connecting the right brands with the right people, which is always great, and together hoping to make meaningful change through marketing with conscious consumers. So Besma also has her own blog, so she's fully aware of what it takes to be an influencer, and the blog's called Curiously Conscious, so she knows all about the influencing world and the blogging world. So looking forward to getting her perspectives on that.
Yeah, and I guess why I care, there's just been such a rise of the word influencer. I'm sure the word influencer wasn't in our vocabulary a few years back. Mm. And on this, you know, the influencer market rising to $5 to $10 billion by 2020. That's a lot in terms of marketing. It's a new way we've got to advertise. And I think one of the powerful things, you know, Lydia and I thought of when we started this podcast is, you know, we want to be able to create content that's meaningful, and doing that through social media or a podcast is just one stream. So in a sense, just looking into that in terms of behavioral change, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our audience? And how can we use this platform to really push people and also understand other influencers doing the same?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so we're really interested in, you know, how you can actually, you know, drive those, generate those conversations through social media. You know, what does it actually take? And how, when it comes to setting trends, you know, what are the building blocks in order to do that in a positive way? So we want to know more about Besma's story, and we want to know what it takes to be influential for the good. And do you want to, we've got a challenge.
Yeah.
Also, well, it's another game show.
Yes.
Ashna's always trying to persuade me to do game shows, but sure. This week we're going to do, I'm going to be the
game
show.
We need like fun game show music. That's the next thing I'm going to influence Lydia to do.
Yes, so I'm going to be the game show host today and quizzing Ashna and Besma on some influencer stats.
Great. Well, I guess let's kick us off. Besma, did you want to introduce yourself?
Hello.
Who you are? Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Hi.
And welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Yeah, so I think you did a pretty good job of introducing me to start with. You're correct. I'm the founder of Ethical Influencers. And before that, I was writing my blog, Curiously Conscious. I am still writing my blog, Curiously Conscious, as well. So really, it all comes out of two conversations that I was having just after I went full time with my blog. I was meeting with ethical brand owners who were saying, you know, we love what you do and you really get our values and you understand what we're talking about, but we can't seem to find influencers or bloggers who have the same narrative. And then I was going to events and meeting people and they were all like, I love sustainable fashion, I love kind of talking about being more eco-friendly, but I'm not getting enough traction, I don't know how to work with brands. And I'm sat there thinking, hang on, I know where these people are.
Mm-hmm.
both sides of the spectrum, what can I do to facilitate some kind of connection between the two? So Ethical Influencers was born out of that, and really it's just a platform for connection. We're not an influencer agency, we're not taking, you know, exclusivity to these people who are on our directory. It's all about getting people to be in a space where they can talk about being more eco-friendly all together, encourage each other, share each other's content, and kind of encourage each other to keep going. And at the same time, for the brands, it's also about giving them the opportunity to work with influencers and people who already get it. You know, they're already talking to an audience of conscious consumers. And, you know, I think for the ethical space, it's still quite a small place to be.
Yeah.
But people are so passionate, and it's such a collaborative space that it's just been kind of a whirlwind adventure putting it all together. It's been just over a year now of running it, and we have just over 400 members in 38 different countries around the world. And yeah, it's kind of gone on a life of its own. I've just started it, and it seems to run by itself. We're currently setting up meetups and ways of getting people to connect with each other in real life, which I think will be an interesting kind of aside to what we're doing. We've done some events in the past, but I think meetups will be a really nice thing to do, and, you know, facilitate connection in whichever country and place that people are at.
So it's predominantly online right now.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So what you kind of get as an influencer and a member of the group is you come in, you get a welcome pack. So it's kind of saying, you know, you're on our directory. People can find you, kind of you're out in the public domain now on the site. There's a closed Facebook group so people can connect there, and people share their blog posts, any questions they might have. Somebody might be researching a topic and other people can kind of give their say on that as well. And then we have the Instagram page, which I run and kind of talk about different quotes from people, so things that have been said in the media, alongside the influencers themselves showing what they're doing, and yeah, putting them on Instagram stories. So there's a lot going on in the space, but everyone tends to kind of run it themselves. You know, I just started the thing going, and everyone else has picked up, so it's really enjoyable to run.
Yeah, and I think that the difference, just from my, you know, outside looking in, is the people that you get, the brands that you get, really do connect, and the missions are aligned. And I think that when you're an influencer, it's almost that you get that authenticity side of things that you don't always necessarily get in normal influencers. So it's people that are promoting things that they actually really care about. Like, I know Lydia and I only talk about brands or products that we actually care about on this episode. It's not something that, oh, it's a paid post, great, we've got to pretend we like a certain thing. It's, you know, we will only speak about things that we are we stand behind. So I think that's a really great thing that you've got going, that kind of cuts through all of the influencer faff.
Great. I think it pays brands to use that platform as well, because, as you say, it saves, you know, a lot of reinventing the wheel, and you're sort of providing it straight in front of them. And I think also with ethical influencers as well, like specifically, they are, I feel like consumers would be more likely to believe and appreciate and understand what they're saying because of the whole top content, the topic, the nature of it is like transparent and ethical. And
I totally, you know, totally see that. I think people go slightly deeper, especially with influencers. They don't tend to want to just be a marketing channel for brands and products and accept free things all the time. It's definitely a difficult space to be in because you're a lot more picky with who you work with. It can hold you back in terms of your own growth, both on social channels but also just bank balance. You know, you're gonna have to turn down a lot of opportunities because they might not fit your content. And that's definitely been something I've felt myself. So being able to put together a group of people who can then support one another, keep themselves talking about different topics, you know, inviting people to do challenges. So we're doing a lot on Plastic Free July and incentivizing people to take part in that, has been definitely a new avenue. And I know that if this was me 5 years ago when I was setting up Curiously Conscious, I'd have been all over it. I would have been right in the Facebook group, talking to people every day, checking out all the other influencers and getting inspiration from them. So it's there to be kind of a support as well, to say you're on the right track, you're doing great things, you know, there's a whole community out there to connect with and learn from and share ideas. And yeah, it's definitely an avenue that I when I first started it, it was just an idea of connecting people. But again, you're right, it's all about that authenticity and connecting people on a level where they're championing the brands that get that too. So it's become a nice little ecosystem, I think. Yeah,
no, I can definitely see that. I can't wait to hear more. Shall we do our switch on, switch off moments?
Yeah. I guess, did you want to kick off? Do you have one?
I have, well, a few. I have the switch off moment, which was prompted by myself and my sister on Saturday. So I went to visit my sister who lives in Nottingham, and she was showing me around the city centre. And we thought, okay, you know, we'll pick up some food bits before we go home. And she'd walk to the shopping centre from her house. She lives about a 15-minute walk away. We're buying bits and bobs, and then I was like, oh, let's get ice lollies. We picked up ice lollies, and then she suddenly went, oh, we've bought ice lollies, and it's going to take 15 minutes for us to get back home. They're going to be melted by the time that we get in. Oh, I'll just call an Uber. So we got an Uber, and we got back, and then I'm like, hang on, that's super uneco. Like, what have we done? Like, for the sake of three ice lollies, we've just taken like a car trip. So yeah, safe to say the ice lollies were enjoyed, but I did feel a little bit bad about that. Just one of those moments.
It's like, do you waste the food or do you take an Uber? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, or do you just eat? I would have just
eat them. Straight there.
Like, I would have just been like, there's five. Well, I guess I'm having five ice lollies.
I didn't even think about it. Like, that would have been the best plan, right?
That would have been what I would have. You know. No, that's a good one. So yeah. We're often, I mean, it's still.
There's always trade-offs like this.
There's always trade-offs like that, it's difficult.
And you know me, I love an Uber.
Love an Uber.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's so convenient, but I mean, with Ubers, they are hybrid cars, right? So
most of the time. Most of the time.
Yeah. But still, walking would have been better.
Yeah. Walking would have been better. Walking while eating your ice lollies.
Yeah.
Would have been a great thing.
For sure.
Next time. Next time, you know.
Yeah.
Do you want to go next?
Cool. Yeah. So I don't really have one that I've actually done, but it's an intention.
Okay.
A switch on intention.
Right.
So ear swabs, like ear cleaning swabs, a lot of plastic. Everyone knows this. We're plastic-free to lie, all of that kind of stuff. In Canada, actually, where I'm from, the brand is called Q-tips, and it's cardboard. Whereas like most in the UK are plastic, like the middle bit and the swab. But then it's like you get into the issue of organic cotton, just generating waste, even if it is cardboard, you're not recycling it, it's going into a bin, all of that stuff. Anyways, I was on, speaking of like influencing and social targeted advertising, I was on Instagram the other day, and I guess they really do target us, especially on our Switch account. It's like every cool product.
Like, since we've started this podcast, we have been inundated with like so many sustain,
which is great though. Yeah. So this one was called Last Swab. I don't know if you've seen it.
I think I've seen it, yeah.
Probably on our Switch. And it's like this really cool, it was like a Kickstarter company, and it's like a case for this ear swab, but you can like clean it because I think it's made out of like silicone or something, or like some, I haven't bought it yet, but you can, I saw that you can buy it on Amazon, you can, they're all over the place, and they're quite pretty as well, and you just need one last that swab, but a cool name, easy,
right, first and last,
I think it's,
I don't know why that hasn't been invented before.
And that's a lot of waste. So like money. I definitely use an ear swab a day, and also like they, on their website, they have like makeup, like you can take off your makeup with it, so you just buy like a couple of them for different purposes.
Yeah, it's really clever.
Yeah,
I am gonna go home and look at that.
Yeah, last swab. Sure. I've just I'm gonna buy one, but this is my switch on, switch off.
We're gonna put that link in the bio for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, and they're quite cheap too. Like I think on Amazon they're like £3. Like
that's not
bad. Yeah. And think about how many times you buy.
Like think about toothbrush.
Yeah,
toothbrush is £3. Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's me. What about you?
Well, you were there actually, because we were together at the weekend. We went back to my parents' hometown and went for a little walk on Sunday, and we went to this farm shop, which is down the road. And yeah, I was just really pleasantly surprised that they'd sort of refurbished it, kind of, and they'd put in a big section that had lots of eco-friendly products.
Okay.
They had like beeswax wraps. They had, you know, what else did I buy? Like sweets with
plastic-free.
It was like the packaging around it looked like plastic, but it was compostable.
Oh, great!
Yeah. So there was like, and there was like palm oil-free chocolate and all of this, these different little things.
Mm. Yeah.
So I thought that was really good. That was a nice little switch on moment. So shout out to the Canalside Farm Shop.
And I also think in that, like, Lydia's hometown is like this beautiful countryside town, but it's really cool to see these things in, you know, outside of big cities. Because yes, we live in London, or when I go back home to Toronto, there's eco shops, there's all sorts of access to great sustainable products. However, we were literally in the middle of nowhere in a farm shop, and they were selling all these things. So it's like there is a market for that in places like the country.
I mean, it's great. That actually kind of circles back to how I first got engaged with the whole sustainability thing, in that I lived in Paris for a year as part of my degree, and I got really into kind of nerdy sustainable agriculture through the local farmers market that used to happen near my apartment. And I was really into the fact that they were there, you know, with paper bags rather than plastic bags. And they were selling local food and where it had come from. And they were kind of really caring about, you know, this is from this region of France. This honey is made here. And actually, I think there's a lot of the rural community who are more connected with nature than perhaps some of us in cities.
Yeah.
Or just, we just go by and, you know, you can buy everything from the supermarket. It's a whole big circle.
Yeah, I think that's really true, actually. Because thinking about it, you know, when you're in the countryside and you're living that life, you're sort of literally connected to the land. And I think like a lot of shops and farm shops and, you know, canals, and like they've always got like the canal boats with little shops and stalls outside. And it's just much more like direct, you know, with the connection with the land. So, yeah. That's nice.
Definitely. Well, I guess diving straight back into you, we kind of covered how you started Ethical Influencers, but what was, you know, the reason for becoming a blogger, you know, when you did start off? What was that kind of switch moment, as we like to call it here, that led you to do that?
Sure. So it's kind of a combination of things. I've been blogging since I was probably 13 or 14, and, you know, you discover MySpace and you're like, oh, I can write anything on here and everybody's going to see it. So I used to write a music blog before I went to university, and then in university I joined the uni paper. I wrote as the music editor, and then my second year I was the editor. And then I moved to Paris, like I said, and just had like no creative outlet whatsoever. Excuse me. So I then started Curiously Conscious I think it was just a totally different name, talking about what I was getting up to in Paris, kind of telling my mum like, hey, I'm okay, I went to the Eiffel Tower today, you know, just the regular holiday photos and things all up on there. And then I started getting more and more into where my food comes from and cooking, you know, vegetables, and I turned vegetarian, so also changing my own diet and understanding where my food comes from. And then changed over to Curiously Conscious because I was being more conscious of where I was purchasing food from, where it came from, the land. And at the time, I was into locavorism, which is eating food that's within 100 kilometers away from where you're based. So in a city, that's slightly more difficult than, you know, if you live out in the countryside. But even in the UK, even in London, you can get veg boxes delivered to you that are from local farmers and things like that. So I was writing loads about that, quite dry content. But it was something that really, really interested me. I went back and finished my degree, and I was doing a degree in business with French, hence living in France. And I said to my lecturer, like, I know I'm supposed to be focusing on business, but can I talk about sustainable agriculture and what that's like in the EU? And just, and he was really into it. So he said, yep, go ahead. And I did a whole research paper on what it's like to have sustainable agriculture, what that means for a consumer, what that means for a farmer, what that means kind of in a regulatory sense. I came out of that. And then with the blog, I'd kept that going, but very slow during my exams, and realized, okay, I've been talking all about my food, but I haven't really been focusing on where my fashion comes from, mm-hmm. or where my beauty products come from, or where I'm purchasing like homeware from. And I graduated and moved to London. And then there's this big conundrum of like, okay, should I go and furnish everything from IKEA? Or should I just wait and try and find everything secondhand?
Yeah.
What am I doing? So I documented everything that I was going through, and at the same time was talking to a lot of different people online. There's always been a really great kind of collaborative space and set of people talking about how to be more eco-friendly. So I fell into that tribe and just really carried on connecting with them, growing Curiously Conscious, talking about things that are a slightly more glamorous way than just being like, hey, we love the farmers and, you know, soil is amazing. So it kind of came from there. Now I try to really elevate my content to being, you know, the same as what you would see on a regular influencer or blogger's mm-hmm. site. So it is, you know, 10 picks for summer or beauty products that I'm loving right now. But there's always kind of back end side of me researching what these products contain, what's, you know, where they come from, who's making them, are they cruelty free, mm-hmm. where's the materials of the fashion, you know, where's that being sourced from, is it secondhand? And it seems to work really well. I think there's so many more people doing that now, and even the big influencers who aren't so switched on to being more ethical or sustainable, they're starting to do a little bit of insight into that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of big brands who are making it a lot more accessible now. So it's been a journey,
yeah,
and I've really enjoyed it this far. Who knows what it'll be like in a year's time or 5 years' time. But right now it's in a very happy place, and the same with ethical influencers. I'm really pleased that there's a whole community that all getting engaged together.
And you do this full time, right?
That's
so
right.
When did that switch kind of happen? Were you able to be full time from the outset, or
gosh, no. I always wanted to be, and I think when I graduated, I kind of gravitated more towards jobs that were similar in the sense of you were marketing or you were writing. I trained to be a copywriter in my second agency job, so I was working in marketing agencies, and first agency was all about technology, really wasn't my bag. But, you know, you graduate, you have to learn the skills and get up the career ladder. And then my second agency, I moved to a lot smaller agency that was focused on positive social change. So we worked with housing associations, charities, even places in the medical field, and worked on campaigns that really meant something to me. So it was a lot more fun to do that. From there, when I went full time with the blog, I essentially wore three different hats. So I changed over in November of 2017, and I took on a couple of freelance clients who I'd been working with, either having contact from the blog or had just come across my content and said, I really like what you do, could you run a blog for us? So working with ethical brands in that space and writing content for them. And even to this day, there's a couple of businesses that I do support with that kind of thing still. But really, it was freelancing, writing the blog, and then 6 months later, I set up Ethical Influencers, which at the time was just a passion project. I just wanted to do something else and connect people in the community. Mm. And it's been, you know, you kind of change what you're doing as you go. When you work for yourself, I think you have to gauge, you know, where's the best place for you to go next. For me, Ethical Influencers took a lot to set up, but really that's a self-sustaining community now. And what we want to do moving forwards with it is to start empowering people to lead their own meetups or to provide guides on how to write better content or how to improve your photography and get people to connect with each other in that way, so they're sharing skills. With the blog, just keep it going. I'm really happy, and I do around 2 to 3 posts a week, and writing about whatever topic comes my way. I had a client once say to me, you know, how do you keep it going? Like, what do you, would you not just get tired of writing all day? And I'm literally like, there is so much to discover. Every week I find something new, and I'm thinking, okay, we need to talk about this. I need to write my own piece or my reaction to something. So I don't think I'd ever run out of material. You wake up every morning and you're happy to be in this space and contributing in some way. But with the blog itself, it was more a case of being able to do something that was within the sustainable space without having to have the capital of starting up a brand or starting, you know, having actual products and a business in that sense. I wanted to have a voice, but I didn't quite know how, and a blog seemed to be the way into that. And now I'm fortunate in that I'm in that position where I'm quite happy that that is my channel and that is what I do, and support other business owners with what they do.
So. Yeah, and blogging and social media is so amazing for that, isn't it? Because it's allowing people, particularly like of a younger generation, to just get their voice heard from the outset. You don't need any kind of infrastructure other than a laptop, you know? And I think, yeah, it's great that that's available to people now.
That's, I think, just having mobile phones and having social media there and seeing other people making these positive changes, that's so encouraging. And, you know, even if it's my boyfriend's mum is super into looking after bees and being out in the garden, and she recently had a tweet of hers go viral because she found a beehive at the bottom of her garden. And she was like, I'm an influencer now. Let me join Ethical Influencers. And I was thinking, you know, anybody can be an influencer these days. Yeah. Anybody can be writing about positive things that they're doing and other people can comment on that and connect with them and keep them going. So it's a really nice space to be in. And it's, yeah.
And for, I guess, people that want to be an ethical influencer or, you know, are kind of starting from scratch, whatever their platform is, a blog, a forum, a podcast, whatever, what's some, I guess, advice you would give them? Because I know, you know, I'm sure being an influencer isn't the easiest. There's a lot of, you know, content you have to create. You have to stay relevant. You've got to worry about your likes. Like, there's so much they think about. What are your tips?
I think the main thing I always recommend to people who are starting out is to not be afraid about putting content out there. I find a lot of people hold back on what they're doing because they want it to be as perfect as the people that, you know, they see on Instagram or the blogs that they read. And you think, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start small. If you saw what my site looked like 5 years ago, I mean, it just so basic, so bare. Really, it was more for my own enjoyment. And I think it's more about focusing on what's authentic to you. Keep yourself going in the sense that content should be coming out on a frequent basis and a consistent basis. So if you can only post once a month, great, post once a month, but make sure you do post once a month and keep that going. If you can commit to more, brilliant as well. You're going to get more people engaging with your content on a more regular basis and grow quicker. But for a lot of influencers, it's more about, it's something they really enjoy. So making sure that you still find enjoyment. Social media is so hard to compare yourself against other people and the number of followers and the number of likes and the dreaded Instagram algorithm. But really, so long as you're creating, you know, positive content and connection with people who they're there commenting and saying, you know, great post, or this really inspired me. Even now, that's what really keeps me going. Getting an email from someone saying, I really enjoyed this and I tried this out. And yeah, thank you for putting this together. That's like the highest tier of gratitude you can get out of this space. It doesn't matter what level, you know, your readership is or your followers is. It's about doing something that's really positive to you too.
And what about like platforms that you use when you're blogging? You know, how do you share that content? Because you've got a website which has got all your blogs on there, but then like how do you kind of push it out to people?
So I'm the old school kind of traditional blogger in that I write content on my blog, and my blog is kind of the place I want people to go. Obviously now with social media platforms being as they are, you can easily just have a Twitter or an Instagram or a Facebook page and do it that way. But I prefer to have my own site because I can write for days, I can put as much content on there, pictures, whatever. And what I tend to do is I'll post probably 2 or 3 times a week. With those posts, I'll schedule tweets to go out about the post itself, so 2 or 3 at least per post. And they all point back to the link to my blog.
Oh, interesting.
Instagram, slightly different. You don't get the conversions as much, so people won't tend to jump from Instagram through to your blog or through to a secondary website. And it took me a long time to learn that. I was very much somebody who would just write one line and put a link in bio, and then I'd be kind of stumped as to why nobody was engaging with my content. And it took me a long time to realize that actually you kind of have to condense what you're saying into your own post on Instagram and make that like a mini post.
Yeah.
So I tend to give little teasers and tidbits on Instagram. And then if people do want to read more, they can convert, but actually you've still got the gist of what I'm saying anyway from the caption itself and the photos that are there too. Twitter and Instagram are my two main platforms, and I've always said I find Twitter so much easier and words are like my friend, whereas I find photos really difficult and I'm such a perfectionist.
Yeah, because you've got to think of like the photo, how it matches with everything else, how you're going to tag it.
It's adding in like a whole other level, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is I find that complex. Some people are amazing at it, it comes really natural to them, and my goodness, please tell me your secret. But for me, it's trying to just give a little bit of info on each and point people in the direction of my blog. Facebook, the same, just kind of the same as Twitter. You put the captions out there, you put the links, people might convert, they might not, that's fine too. And then I used to use the Blog Lovin' platform. I don't know what happened to that. I don't know if you know.
No.
It used to be massive. It used to be like the number one place that bloggers would go, and you would follow all your favorite bloggers on Blog Lovin', and then you would go and you'd see your feed and it would just be loads of blog posts that everyone who you follow just posted that week.
Well, I've seen Medium. Is that the same?
Yeah. Or Medium
or Tumblr?
I think Medium's slightly different in that it's the posts themselves sit on Medium, and I had a really interesting conversation last year with somebody about how more women tend to have blogs and more men tend to use Medium. I'm not sure if that's actually true. I don't know the real statistics behind that. But I know with Medium, it's almost more like a journalist's sort of blog. So it's very much very wordy, not many photos, everything sits there. And you can follow people on Medium as well. But it's not really a platform that I've used. Tumblr as well. Again, it's like photos, right? But I'm... I know.
I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't used it, but it's something to do with blogs.
Right, right. Something out there. I think people tend to use different platforms depending on what their strengths are. So I guess if you're a really visual person, you would go and you would probably use Tumblr, probably Pinterest as well, and sort all of that out. I have a friend who is great at Pinterest. I have the foggiest idea of how to use Pinterest properly. I just pin stuff that I like and I'm like, yeah, that looks great. Put that on my beauty board.
I do it for like food recipes, housing designs.
I looked on it like a while ago and I had like 3 followers, so I was like, what? Why are they following me? I've only got pictures of like vegetarian recipes, quick dinners.
That note, should we segue to our challenge / game?
Yes. Okay. So what we're going to do is have a little game show session where I am the host and I ask some questions.
She loves it. She loves being the host.
I am
the host. How many times has she said I am the host in this one episode? Knocking me for a game show, and then the queen over here is taking the host duty. I know, I'll be a contestant. Okay.
Settle down, please. So we have a few questions which I'll go through, and you have to do, we'll do it like first person, you know, hits the buzzer. So you have to make a noise or like an, you know, a bang.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going to be really welcomed by people with headphones in. And then we'll see who gets the right answer or the closest to the right answer.
Okay. Shoot.
So, question number one. What percentage of consumers are more likely to make a purchase after seeing a social media referral?
What's a social media referral?
So say an influencer is talking about a product. Say you've seen that as a consumer. How much more likely are you to buy that product?
From an influencer. Gotta be quick. I'm competitive.
Okay.
I don't know the answer, but I'm going to guess. 30%.
Okay.
Is it a percent or is it like how many times? Okay.
What percentage of consumers? Yeah.
I'm going to say 40%.
Ooh.
Besma wins.
Ooh.
71%.
What? 71?
Yes.
Just from an influencer posting us something.
I mean, I know I fall into that trap where you see something on Instagram or you see something on Instagram like 2 times.
Yeah, and you're like, this is a sign. Yeah, I need it. Now. Yeah, even though it's an algorithm.
Right. Yeah, like those and the targeted ads as well. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, question two. What percentage of the global population are social media users?
Okay, so I actually know this, or at least I know like the rough figure because I wrote about this recently. So it's something like 40%.
Yeah.
Social media users? Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I didn't let you answer, so.
Yeah, what go, if I was going to get 40%?
Sorry, the rules of this game are somewhat to be developed.
Well, if the first person gets it right, I think they get it.
Okay.
And then, like, the second one can snipe the points.
Ooh. So, yeah, it's 43% of the global population. So that's a lot, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a good few billion people.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Mm.
Over 3 billion. So next question, which platform has the best engagement rate?
Ooh.
So
Biz.
Okay. Okay. Do you want me to finish the question? Or?
Yeah, fine. I think I'm gonna be wrong.
I've got too wrong. I've got to step it up over here. So which has the best engagement rate when it comes to influencer marketing?
I think Instagram. Has to be.
I would have said the same. So yeah, okay. I totally agree with Ashna there.
Yes, it is. It has the top performance in engagement versus all the other platforms.
Yeah, because I think there's like that photo element. So brands are going to want Instagram posts versus tweets or Facebook, which nobody really.
Yeah, I think there's almost a culture of liking things on Instagram as well.
Yeah,
like you scroll and like, and you scroll and like,
and tag, and reshare. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Great, go on.
Okay, so how much better is that than other platforms? So, like,
in a percentage, or
yeah, like how many times better is it in terms of engagement?
Okay,
I'm gonna say 60%.
Okay. I'm gonna say. I'd say higher. I'd say like 75.
It's actually over 100% better.
Oh wow!
It's over twice as good as the next best platform.
I mean, that kind of works out. Like, if I post something on Twitter, I might get like on a really good performing tweet, you probably get like 20 likes.
Yeah,
and then if you look at Instagram, and I have like pretty even follow accounts on Instagram, you'll get like 100, 200 likes. Yeah. So it's almost incomparable.
Yeah. So
interesting. Final question. What percentage of the US population will be bloggers by 2020?
Ooh. Just the US.
Just the US, yeah.
Oh, well, do we know what the current is?
Yeah, what's the current?
We don't know the current. Sorry.
No, don't worry.
I'm going to say like 20.
Ooh. 20%.
That's quite high, though.
Yeah, that is high. Like, because that includes
one in five people blog.
Will blog, yeah. That's too high, I think. Like, but I'm going to stick with my guns.
Okay.
I'm going to say 10%. I still think that's high.
Besma wins. It is 10%.
Hey, wow. That's still so high, though. That's,
yeah.
The US population, 10% are blogging.
Yeah.
One in 10 people.
But I wonder if I was thinking like all forms, like podcast, vlogging, influencers.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
There like, must be more.
Yeah, it would
because vlogging is like the thing now, I think.
Yeah. I think blogging though is just so accessible, isn't it? Anyone can just write a blog. You don't need any
like
equipment.
Generation Z's coming way, you know, with their vlogs.
Yeah. With their vlogs, it makes us sound like
old people, vloggers, literally.
Yeah. I'm still yet to enter the video realm, and it scares me somewhat. I think you guys are even ahead of me in podcasting. I'm there, just sat behind the computer, tapping away, hiding everything.
But the visuals on your blog are so cool. Like, you do have a really good photo element to it as well, which is important.
Which is important.
Because it gives you, like, a personality to it more.
Yeah, okay.
More so.
I definitely think that's, a good tip with anything. Mm-hmm. Social posts are way more likely to be engaged with if you have a photo attached as well. So it kind of makes sense. Thank you.
Well, I guess wrapping up here as we're out of time, but what can you leave our listeners with? Those that either want to become ethical influencers or those consumers, what's kind of your take home that you can leave with us?
I think a good tip I can probably give, and general tip, even if you're running a brand, would be working out where your values lie. There's so much in the sustainability space to care about. And it gets to a point where, you know, it's the same. Mm-hmm. Do you let the ice creams melt or do you get the Uber? You've got to decide, you know, where your priorities are. So actually spending a little bit of time researching what you're passionate about, what you care about, and how you can kind of tap into that and have a voice in that space, I think is really important. Mm-hmm. I personally right now, I'm really into ethical fashion and kind of interested in the conversation that's happening there. So a lot of my posts cater to that.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Ethical Influencers platform, we're trying to get people talking about lots of different things, all in their own authentic voices, and supporting that. And it's so interesting to see how different people from different places prioritize things or find one thing's more important to them than another.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
even if you're just a consumer or you run a business, define what matters to you and shout about it. Like, people want to know. People like people. So connect with people in the space. They're all friendly people.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm.
And where can people find you? What's your, you know, your plugs that you can you can tell everyone about?
So Ethical Influencers is ethicalinfluencers.co.uk. That's the website. And it's at Ethical Influencers on Instagram. Myself, I'm Besma. So Besma CC. On Twitter and Instagram and pretty much every other platform out there. And curiouslyconscious.com is my blog.
Great, thank you. And you have had some events recently, haven't you? Is there any more of those coming up?
We have a... it's actually a secret.
Okay.
Secret so far, but I can give you a little bit of... yeah. We're planning on another clothes swap to happen in September, so after London Fashion Week, and it's going to be a big one, bigger than all the events that we've done so far. So if you have clothes that you're not so happy with and you want to swap with people, ooh, keep them handy.
Exciting.
That sounds good. See you then.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
This podcast is going to come out in like mid to late August, so
perfect.
You'll probably be promoting it by then.
Great. Yeah, you'll hear about it soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been so fun chatting with you.
Thank you.
We can't wait to see what's next for you guys.
Thanks so much.
Don't forget to write to us if you have any questions for Besma and or for us. You can reach us at hello@podcastswitch.com or on Twitter and Instagram at podcastswitch. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe, of course.
Great. Everyone have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for that.